Today's reading is from Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, who we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the need of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father God, please speak to us in your word. Please fill our minds, warm our hearts, and change our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The purpose of today's sermon is to think together about how we do church in a time of COVID. We're 6 months into the coronavirus crisis. It's the start of a new school year. So this is a good time, before we start a sermon series next week, to pause and consider how we organise church and how we all connect with church in this extraordinary time. If this seems like a dry or inward-looking topic, remember that the church is the bride of Christ. She is God's chief means of reaching the lost. She is God's main way of nurturing his people and bringing glory to himself here on earth. So we're going to look today at one of the great chapters in the New Testament about what church should be, Romans chapter 12. So much about church has changed. For months we were entirely online. St. Mary's became a kind of cheesy TV channel. Since July, we have resumed in-person services, but we have to wear face masks. As someone said, it makes church look like a convention of bank robbers. We can't sing. At present, we don't have separate children's groups, although we hope to restart them at half term. Our small groups are meeting on Zoom, which means, "I'm sorry, I think you're on mute," is now one of the most widely used phrases in the church. There's no doubt that a huge amount has changed. But as we turn to God's word in Romans 12, I want us to see three things that have not changed. Three unchanging truths which show us how to be church in a world where so much has changed. First then, God's mercy has not changed. Look with me at Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, this verse is a turning point in the book of Romans. Up till now, Paul has been describing God's mercy to us expressed in Jesus Christ. From this point on, he explains how we must respond to that mercy by offering our lives to God. This is the great dynamic of the Christian life. First, God poured his mercy out on us. Then, in response, we offer our lives to him. We don't earn God's mercy, it comes as a gift. And then we respond in gratitude. Despite all the COVID upheaval, God's mercy has not changed. It remains true that we have all turned away from God and persisted in doing the very things we know God hates. Left to ourselves, we face God's righteous anger. But in his mercy, God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us sinners. When we trust in Christ, we are forgiven and clothed in his perfect righteousness. We are made perfect in God's sight. Not only that, we are given his Holy Spirit to change us from within, and we are granted a glorious future with Christ that far outweighs our present sufferings. Believers, the mercy we have received from God is immense. We are like lottery winners. In fact, we're like those Euro Millions lottery winners who get hundreds of millions of pounds. No, we're more privileged even than them, because this mercy has come to us not by chance, but as a loving gift from God. Now, such mercy demands a response. You can't receive mercy as big as this and remain the same. That's why Paul urges us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That means to offer all that we are to God, especially the sinful bits, to be holy and pleasing to him. So our mouths, how we speak, our eyes, what we watch, our hands, how we work, our hearts, how we love our families and friends, our watches, how we use our time, we offer all we are to God as a living sacrifice. As someone has said, the thing about a living sacrifice is that it keeps trying to get off the altar. Which parts of your life are not being lived for God? We need to keep on remembering God's mercy and then offering our bodies to him. Isaac Watts summed it up so well in his famous hymn, "When I Surveyed a Wondrous Cross." He describes Jesus on the cross. "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down." And then he says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." You see, one danger of the COVID crisis is that all the change and the busyness of adapting to a new way of life distracts us from God's mercy. When did you last spend time simply dwelling on God's mercy to you? That's what will keep us on the right track as a church. We need to keep coming to the foot of the cross to remember God's mercy poured out on us in Jesus. And then we need to go on offering all that we are to God in response. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. As much as ever, this is the heart of our life together as a church. God's mercy has not changed. But there's a second thing we see in this great chapter which remains the same. Our mutual dependence has not changed. In other words, we Christians still need each other. We still depend on one another. Have a look at verses 4 and 5. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The human body is made up of many organs. They all do different things, and they all need each other. We Christians are just the same. We all have different gifts, but we form one body or church, and we all belong to each other. We must not think of ourselves as self-sufficient individuals. No, we're organs in a body. To keep going as followers of Christ, we need to be connected with brothers and sisters. As verses 6 to 8 explain, we all have gifts and we should use them to serve each other. We need people to listen to us, to comfort us, to talk with us about Jesus, to pray with us, to help us, to spur us on. And we need to be doing those things for others too. You see, the great danger of COVID is that it stops us connecting with each other in fellowship. That's such a danger because if COVID stops us relating to each other, well, it could lead us to drifting from Christ and the life that is in him. In these strange times, it is not enough just to hear or to watch good teaching. It's vital that each one of us is connecting with others in fellowship. Now, how can we do that? I know that for some of us, it's just not possible to attend church at the moment. But for most of us, the best way to connect in fellowship is to come to our in-person services. You see, God made us as physical, embodied people. We were not made just for online relationship, but for physical, in-person fellowship. It's probably easier to stay at home and watch church online, but so often in the Christian life, the easy thing is not what is good for us spiritually. Seeing others in the flesh, talking face to face after the service is invaluable. It enables us to give and receive Christian love, encouragement, support, and fellowship. We're serving others just by being there. It's true that space is limited at the services, but I want to encourage you all to flood us with bookings. We're right ready to share out the spaces week by week and even to start additional services. I know that the all-age format can be hard for those with young children. But parents, our children need to connect with fellowship just as much as we do. Children need the weekly pattern of meeting with God's people and seeing that they're part of a church family. Please never worry about little ones making noise. As a church, we are committed to loving children and their parents. From October half term, we hope to restart children's groups on Sunday. But don't wait until then. Your children need fellowship, and so do you. Adults, you may feel that you get more out of an adult sermon than an all-age talk. All of us miss the chance to sing. But you know that church is about so much more than teaching and singing. It's about fellowship too. It's about encouraging others. You will be amazed how much you can get from an all-age talk if you work actively at applying it to your life. And we worship God very profoundly as we gather, even if we can't sing out loud. For many of us, the big question is whether it's safe to come to church. While the risks are different for each of us, and we must all weigh them individually before God. The services are carefully organized and socially distanced. At the annual parochial church meeting on Thursday, Will, our vicar, gave a rule of thumb. If you feel safe attending a supermarket for shopping, you should feel safe attending church on Sunday. I think that's a helpful guide. Well, I know that there are many who are simply not able to attend in-person services at the moment. And I want to say that we love you. And we are committed to fellowship with you at home for as long as this crisis continues. Please prioritize the congregation get-togethers on Zoom. These are excellent ways to encourage each other. It would be great to see the numbers at the congregation get-togethers going back up. If you can't use Zoom, use the phone to talk with people from church. In the next few weeks, we plan to establish a buddy system to connect pairs of households who can nurture and support each other in Christ. Please get in touch and let us know if you'd like to be part of that. And for many of us, one of the main ways we connect in fellowship is through our small groups. Now, I know how easy it is to feel zoomed out and that the last thing we need is another video conference. But let me encourage you. Your small group is not just another Zoom call. It's actually a means of connecting in fellowship with the body of Christ and nurturing brothers and sisters in Jesus. You see, for all the disruption of COVID, our mutual dependence has not changed. We are organs in a body. We need each other. The human lung is an amazing thing. It contains millions of tiny airways called bronchioles. They end in millions of little air sacs called alveoli. Each one of these is surrounded by a mass of capillaries, which are tiny blood vessels. When it's connected to the rest of the body, the human lung can process 13 pints of air a minute. It keeps the whole body going. But separated from the rest of the body, what is it then? It's a bag of air. It's no use to the body, and its life is fading. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are like that lung. We need to be joined to the body in fellowship. If we're not connected, we and our families are in danger of drifting from Christ. But if we are connected, then we are a huge blessing to the whole body. Now, connecting in fellowship is harder for us all in these times of COVID. But did you know that in parts of rural Tanzania, for years now, many Christians have been walking 10 miles to get to church? Every Sunday, they walk 10 miles there, they walk 10 miles back, and they do it in their thousands. Why do they do it? They're not superhuman. They're ordinary believers like us. They do it because they know God's mercy. They know that they need to be connected to one another in fellowship. And they know that it is a blessing to give and receive Christian friendship, encouragement, support, and love. Don't let the challenges of COVID be an excuse for not connecting in fellowship. Our mutual dependence has not changed. So much has changed due to coronavirus, but God's mercy has not changed. Our mutual dependence has not changed. And there is a third thing in this great chapter which is constant amidst all the upheaval. Our duty to love has not changed. Look at the start of verse 9. Love must be sincere. Now, the human body is held together by a network of ligaments and tendons, but the body of Christ is held together by love. That's why verses 9 to 21 follow on from the teaching about being the body of Christ in verses 3 to 8. It's not our gifts or our devotion to duty or our efficiency that holds us together as the body of Christ. It is our sincere love for each other. Verses 9 to 21 contain 29 staccato commands that show us what sincere love is. Sincere love is family love. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Our love should be like family love should be, committed, caring, consistent, long-term love. Sincere love is practical love. Verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's been wonderful to hear how church family have been shopping for each other, providing transport, helping people draw up CVs. Let's keep this practical love going. And sincere love is sympathetic love. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Let's be ready to share and talk about things that are delighting us and grieving us. And when others share, we might not know what to say, but it's enough that we listen, really listen, and then that we rejoice or mourn with them. And sincere love is patient love. This is verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, this command comes in the middle of instructions about how we relate to one another as God's people. That suggests that we will be persecuted or wronged, not only by those outside church, but also by those within. Churches all over the world have found that there's huge scope for falling out with each other over our response to coronavirus. We may feel that others are too cautious or too gung-ho, that others are not providing what we need or are demanding too much from us. But we need to bless those who persecute us. Sincere love is patient love. It keeps loving people, even when they wrong us. And sincere love overflows to the world. So verses 9 to 21 start with how we relate to one another in the family of God. And as they go on, they cover how we relate to anyone and everyone. And that's because the love we have for each other should flow out to the world around us. It was great at the start of this crisis. Many of us connected with neighbours in a deeper way. Let's not lose those connections, but keep them warm. As a church, we must keep looking out. It's been thrilling to have big numbers of people doing Christianity Explored online in the last few months. And it has been sobering to see the effects of loneliness and anxiety in our town and people reaching out to church for help. Our love as a church should flow out to those around us so that they can find the only love that can really help, the love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, so much has changed about how we do church. The dangers and the challenges are real. But here in Romans 12 are three things that have not changed. Now, it's so important as we hear God's word that we put it into practice. As we close, I want each one of us to focus on what we will take away from this chapter and put into practice in our lives. God's mercy has not changed. What will you do to keep God's mercy in view? What steps can you take so that God's mercy to you in Jesus is at the forefront of your mind each day? Now, many of us are exhausted by the challenges of these times and frazzled by all the changes. But as God's mercy flows into our lives, it fills us up. God's mercy gives us what we need to serve and love. And our mutual dependence has not changed. What will you do to connect yourself and your family with fellowship? Now is the time to get back into the routines of fellowship, even to book in today for an in-person service next Sunday. And our duty to love has not changed. How can God's sincere love for you flow out in love for brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we cannot do any of these things without your mercy to us. Help us to keep on coming to the foot of the cross and dwelling on your mercy to us in Jesus. Show us how we can connect with one another in fellowship, even in these times. And we pray that your love for us would flow out in a sincere love for brothers and sisters and for the world around us. Amen.